Our message this morning will come from James chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. These are the words of God. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Our God and Father, bring forth now your words by the power of your Spirit. Bring them to our hearts, especially bring them to our young folks who are among us. Bring them home to their hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, so far in words to teens, in which we're speaking directly to you, young people, even as Solomon does in Proverbs, we've been talking mostly to the young men. It's had application to the young ladies, but mostly we've been speaking to the young men, and we've been talking to them about the major temptations that Scripture sets forth that will afflict them. And we saw the fact that every single temptation that's presented to the young men takes on the guise of, this is the way to happiness, with a masculine twist. In other words, it says to young men, this is what real men do. This will make you a man. This will fulfill your deepest longings as a man. When in fact, we've seen that all of those roads are really the way to unhappiness, loneliness, and regret. All of these roads hold forth false notions of masculinity. They all go away from what God created men to be and what He created them to do. So they're all false roads. Now for you, young ladies, the temptations you will face are just the other side of the same coin. They're all going to be temptations that say to you in different contexts, this is what will make you be a woman or feel like a woman. This is what will fulfill your deepest needs and longings as a woman. This is the way to happiness. But in fact, each one of these temptations will lead you away from what God created you to be, the way He's made you, the way He's wired you, and what He's created you to do. And therefore, they're going to lead you to emptiness. Now, they may give you some upfront pleasures, some upfront excitement. That's the way Satan works. Everything he's bringing you is right up front. But it's not going to take very long at all before you're empty and lonely and filled with regret. So, as it was with the young men, so it is for you, young ladies. Here is the question you have to face and answer. What is the nature of happiness, and where does it come from? Now, this is the issue that your mother, Eve, the mother of all living, faced in the Garden of Eden. She did not face a question about fruit. Okay? It involved fruit and eating, but that wasn't really the issue. The issue was, Eve, what's the nature of happiness, and where does it come from? God says, the Bible says, that the nature of happiness is that it is a gift. It is something that is given, and it is something that is received. It is not spoil or booty, something that you can steal or grab or claim or manufacture. It is a gift. It's not something you can produce for yourself. And this gift comes from God alone. And that's exactly what James is saying in our text. Every good gift. He's saying every blessing, every happiness, every good thing that happened in this life, it is a gift. And it comes down from above. It comes from the Father of lights. Every good thing you can enjoy in this life is a gift. And notice James says, do not be deceived. Why does he say that? Because we are tempted to be deceived on this very point. This is where we get off the road. This is precisely the deception that Eve fell for and that plagues all of us, whether we're boys, girls, men, women. Satan's lies always boil down to this. It doesn't matter what the context, this is what it boils down to. If you, young person, if you, young ladies, if you follow God's word, you're going to be stifled. You're going to be repressed. You're going to be left hollow and unfulfilled. On the other hand, if you follow your own inclinations, your own desires, in other words, if you follow your heart, you're on the road to happiness. Now, Satan always presents his way as broad and free, and he presents God's way as narrow and repressive. Now, you think about what Satan was essentially saying to Eve, because this is the same thing he's going to say to you. He says, you know, God says you have to do this or not do that or else. I'm not telling you what to do, Eve. I'm just telling you that it's your decision. I'm not telling you what to do. That's what God does. He tells you what to do because he's trying to control you. He's trying to stifle you, limit you, take away your happiness. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you it's your decision. Follow your heart. That's the way Satan always presents it. But here's what happens, young ladies. When you follow your own desires, your own heart, your own ideas of happiness and where it comes from and so forth, which is what Eve did, she quickly found out this was all a lie. She quickly found out, no, you know what? Every good thing, it's the gift of God. It comes from Him. And so in life, you can use various means. Guys, the temptation with guys is to use straight-ahead strength. Go take stuff, win stuff, overpower stuff, you know, steal stuff, get something for nothing, get the quick way. That's the temptation for guys. With girls, it's a little more subtle. It's using a different kind of power. It's using the power of beauty. And we'll get into this next week. But as girls, God has created you with a special relationship to beauty. And beauty is power in the Bible. Okay, we're going to talk about that more next week. But He wants you to use your relationship with beauty. He wants to get it all twisted around to use that power to try to win for yourself happiness and fulfillment. And the thing is, you can use these kinds of power just like guys can use it in a different kind of way. To amass stuff. You can get a guy. You can get multiple guys. You can get a house. You can get stuff. You can get nice stuff. You can do all that. But here's the deal. Whether you're a guy or a girl, you amass all this stuff by going about it your way. The thing is you can't enjoy it. You can fill your house with a sumptuous feast with all this great food. What you don't have, and what only God can give you, is taste buds. You have all this stuff, and you can't taste it. It leaves you empty. I was just talking just this week to one of the campus ministers at a local campus. And I asked him, I have my own ideas because I do some teaching at college, and I see college kids. But I wanted to hear from him because he's working with college age all the time. I said, what's the biggest challenge you find? What's the biggest issues you find with the young people that you're dealing with on university campus? And he said, the biggest one is this. It's not, I mean, the professors are oftentimes putting out a bunch of garbage and lies. He said, but it's not so much the intellectual stuff. He said, it's this. I'm lonely. And I'm depressed. But they all act happy. They have social events everywhere. They smile all the time. And you know, it's not cool to not smile. Can't be a dud. You got to act like you got your act together, right? Smile, you fool. He said, but they're lonely. They're empty. They're depressed. He said, that is the biggest issue. And this is what tends to happen with young men and young ladies alike. You can get stuff for yourself by going about things your way. You can use the power of beauty, young ladies, in the various ways to get stuff for yourself, to get a guy for yourself, whatever it may be, to help you on the road to happiness and success. You're not going to have any taste buds. So who is wealthier? Who is more blessed? Who is more happy? The person with a house full of feastly food with no taste buds, or somebody with a modest house with a modest amount of food with full taste buds and able to enjoy it? That's what it ends up being in life. And so, here's what happens to girls. When you follow your heart, when you follow your own way, when you say you've got to strike out on your own and get happiness for yourself, you're going to find that following your heart, using what you have to get what you can, you're going to find that following your heart is a very crowded road. You're going to find that there are a whole lot of other girls following their hearts who end up packed into the same space that you are while you're following your heart. And it's going to seem a whole lot more like competition than it is happiness. You're going to find yourself up constantly competing with a bunch of other girls for a very limited amount of happiness. That's the way it comes down. That's why all these girls are out there with all their social events and all their friends, and they are inside, they're aching. They're going, I am lonely, and I'm empty, and I'm depressed. Girls end up just getting cooked by this kind of constant feeling of competition for a small amount of happiness. It produces a tremendous amount of stress. And with girls, it's different than guys. With competition among guys is more like rugby. Another minister aptly noted, competition with girls is like water polo. 90% of the action is underneath the surface. Okay? So guys are oblivious to this. They think everything's fine. Man, there's all kinds of commotion going on underneath the surface with the girls. And that's not fun. That just cooks girls. Girls basically end up desperately playing their cards as best they can. And so what it turns out, following your heart, this all sounds great. What it ends up being is, okay, come here, honey. What kind of hand have you been dealt? What have you got that you can play? Are you a little bit pretty? Are you a little bit smart? Are you a little bit talented? Do you have a little bit of sparkling personality? On the other hand, can you be catty? Do you know how to put other girls down and make them look bad while featuring yourself at their expense? Are you good at flirting? Well, whatever you got, honey, you better play it for all you're worth, because that's all you're getting. And that's the way girls end up feeling, and it's not fun. So what happens is girls act happy on the outside, and they're miserable on the inside. That's why at a local Christian university that I do some teaching at, they have a formal name for the freshman girls' dorm, but what everybody calls it on campus is the drama palace. The freshman girls' dorm is the drama palace, and it's called that for a reason, because these girls are being cooked. They're just chewed up inside with this constant competition and game playing that they're caught up in, all trying to win happiness for themselves. Here's the thing. Let me try to come at this from different angles. Let me lay out some practical things for you young ladies. I've been around for a while. Grew up as a non-Christian, went all the way up through high school as a non-Christian, became a Christian. I know what it is to be a new Christian. I know what it is to know nothing as a Christian and try to grow with a Christian. I went to it was a nominal Christian college. It was really pagan. I know what it is to go through all of those different things, and I've been around for a long time. Here's the deal. I don't know a single girl who has played this game and who has played out her hand for what happiness she can get. I don't know a single girl who's ended up happy who's gone that path. So let me just cut to the chase here. Let me get pragmatic with you. Let me talk to you about what works and what doesn't. And that doesn't work. And as a father of five girls, I've got a vested interest. I want my girls to be happy. I want them to be blessed. Okay? That's dear to my heart. I don't know a single girl who's trusted her ability to compete who has ended up happy. Even the ones who were really good at competing. Every truly happy girl I've known, whether they were single or married, every truly happy couple that I've known, married, they didn't play this game. And here's another thing that I've observed. The vast majority, and this should give you some comfort, girls, the vast majority of the happy girls that I've known and the happy couples that I've known did not have great hands to play. They weren't gorgeous. They weren't built like a runway model or a swimsuit model. They weren't super smart. They weren't off the chart talented. They didn't necessarily have this natural, sparkling life of the party personality. They didn't have it all together. If you just assessed them and said, oh, come here, honey, listen, what you got to play, you'd go, well, you don't have the greatest hand. And as girls, what tends to happen with girls is that there's this self-focus that comes about, okay? And that's really what the Bible calls pride. We think of pride as conceit. The Bible calls pride self-focus, okay? Self-focus. So you can be conceited, you can be arrogant, you can think you have a great hand to play, and you might be right. Or you could be insecure, needy, and not a social butterfly at all, but you have the same problem. You're self-focused, okay? So the life of the party girl who figures that I'm going to have the best hand in the room, and the girl who is all, woe is me, because I'm going to have the worst hand in the room, they both have the same problem. They're both focused on themselves. And it's all attached to what kind of hand do they have to play. Most girls, when you get caught up in this game, life is a spiritual and emotional roller coaster. When you go to some kind of a social event, maybe church, it may be something at school, it may be a party, it may be something else. When you figure that you pretty much have a strong hand based on who else is in the room, you feel good. You feel up. You feel confident. When you go somewhere and you see a girl or two or three who clearly have a better hand to play than you do, how do you feel? Miserable. You feel horrible. Now you're down in the dumps. God does not want you on that roller coaster, and that's why I'm telling you that the happy girls I've known and the happy couples I've known, you wouldn't say that they have this great hand to play. But let me tell you what they have had, every single one of them. Godliness and contentment. Those are the two things that Paul tells Timothy he needs to have in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. He says, godliness and contentment are means of great gain. What's he saying? If you're godly and content, you're going to win the lottery? No, he's saying if you're godly and content, you're in a position to receive every good gift that God gives and to have the taste buds to enjoy it all. So, all the happy girls I've known, all the happy couples I've known, they've had a heart for God, they've believed God, they've trusted God, they have followed God. They've had genuine humility, which means that they were not the center of their life. God and other people were. They had a genuine love and concern for others. And here's another interesting thing. Those who I've known who were happy in marriage were happy before marriage. They weren't discontent and unhappy before and then suddenly became happy and content afterwards. That's not the way it works. The happy couples I've known were godly and content while they were single. Even though that they were hoping to be married, of course, they were still godly and content before. And now they're godly and content while they're married. On the other hand, ones that I've known who have not been godly and content before, they get married thinking it's going to make them happy, and you know what? They end up not being godly or content afterwards. So this connection between godliness and contentment and happiness is exactly why Paul says that godliness joined with contentment is a means of great gain. And he says it holds forth promise both for this life and the next. Now, all of this, young ladies, flows from this understanding that James is talking about, that happiness and every good thing are gifts. You either receive them as a gift or you don't get them. And a lot of people out there are just like hamsters on a wheel. They're running so fast, trying to to be happy. And they just never get there. You either receive it with an open hand from God, or you don't get it. And the happy young ladies and young men and the happy couples I've known, let me say this, they have not been immune from hardship. It's not like they go through life with their feet never touching the ground. To the contrary, many of those who I've known have gone through substantial hardship. You see, here's another myth, that happiness means no difficulties. That's another of Satan's lies. No difficulties, no hardship, no pain. That's not what it means. Happiness means that God is with you and you carry His promise and His assurance that every difficulty, every hardship, every pain that comes into your life is actually to your benefit, because it's going to lead you to know God better, to trust Him more, and to be more devoted to Him. It'll be for the purpose of smoothing out the flaws that you have, the things in you that hurt you and hurt others, and to bring you more and more into God's blessedness. That's what happiness means. So the happy people I've known grow through hardship. They grew in godliness and contentment through hardship. Now, when you have this kind of attitude, and this is what characterizes you, even through hardship and trial, this is what makes someone God's jewel. Okay? This is what makes someone God's precious. And here's the deal. God takes care of His jewels. He does not waste them. He takes care of them. Now, does that mean that if you're one of God's jewels, you really walk with Him in godliness and contentment, that you're necessarily going to get married and have a great guy? No, it doesn't. I'm not going to lie to you. It doesn't mean that. Corrie Ten Boom was one of God's jewels, and she never married. The Apostle Paul was one of God's jewels. He never married. Right? So it doesn't mean that. What it does mean, though, is that you are going to be blessed. You are going to be filled up with all that God has to give, no matter what your circumstance. I'm not saying don't desire to be married. I think God has created us with that being a natural desire, and it's to be encouraged. But don't worship it. So, for the girl who is trying to compete for happiness and play out whatever kind of hand she has, life ends up being really complicated. It's like water polo. There's just all of this action and churning going on underneath the surface all the time. But for the girl who trusts in God, who is godly, and who is content, life becomes simple. Everything lines up. There's nothing in conflict. And this all comes from the fact that you understand the true nature of happiness. It is a gift, and it comes from God alone. Now, when a girl has this heart, she gives off a certain kind of beauty. Okay? She gives off a certain kind of beauty that's unmistakable. And it is the beauty that at the end of the day is the determiner for the really godly guys. The only kind of man who can make you happy in a marriage. It is what attracts them. I'm going to get into this more next week, but let me just give you a little teaser here. Because as women, again, you've been created for a special relationship to beauty. God has made you beautiful in a certain kind of way that He hasn't made men. And you have to embrace this. You can't fight this. This is the way God made you. But I'll just tell you something. I have seen several instances just when I've been aware of what's going on. When you had a really great young man. I mean, he's great. I just know this guy, God's hand on him, he's great. I can just look at the qualities. He's going to make someone a great husband. And there have been several times when I've seen, and I'm just aware of what's going on, there's a couple of, and these are good Christian girls, there's a couple of them that I can tell they're kind of interested in this guy. Now, they're not doing anything they shouldn't be doing, but they're kind of interested in this guy. I have seen a number of times the guy picks the one who is objectively not as pretty. I mean, not just my opinion. It's like, no, she's not as pretty as the other girl. She just isn't. There was another kind of beauty, the whole picture, that carried the day. It wasn't just looks. There were other things that carried the day. I'll talk more about that next week. So there's this certain kind of beauty that a girl gives when she's godly and content, walking with the Lord, just like there's a certain kind of strength that a young man gives off when he is godly and content. This kind of beauty, this kind of strength cannot be faked because it's from the inside out. And remember, what you get in life, what you reap in life, is the same thing you sow. If you are sowing fake seed, you're going to reap fake fruit and fake happiness, which is not happiness at all. Now, let me assure you, young ladies and young people in general, I'm not saying this stuff, these lessons are not just stuff that older people say to control younger people and to get you to behave the way we want you to. This lesson is the central lesson of life. It doesn't matter what your sex, what your age, what your circumstance. This is the central issue of life. The sooner you learn this lesson, the sooner you learn to truly walk with God, the more happiness and blessedness you're going to enjoy throughout life. So, girls, if you feel yourself, I know you do. I know you feel this. You feel this tremendous pull to be in the game, playing out your hand just as best you can, hoping for the best. Get out of the game. Nobody beats the house. You're not going to win. If you're the most beautiful, you know, I don't care how pretty you are, there's somebody prettier. And even if you're the most beautiful girl in the world, you won't be tomorrow. Somebody else is going to take your place. Get out of the game. Nobody beats the house. And I just want to leave you for some questions, young ladies, to ask yourself. And if you have another Christian that you really, really trust and confide in, maybe even your parents, whoa, radical. You can get their input on this. Here's some questions. Am I growing in godliness? Am I content? Do I show signs of discontentment? Am I competing in the game? Am I attaching my happiness to my ability to play out my hand with whatever I have? Am I flirty? Are any of my girlfriends a bad influence because they're sucking me into this game and telling me, trying to get me all excited about what hand, what cards I have to play and what I can do and how excited she is and how confident she is about what she can play? Are there any girlfriends who are a bad influence because they're sucking me into this game, this competition? On the other hand, do you have girlfriends who are godly and content and will help you be on the right path? Another good question would ask, do I have any girlfriends? Or do girls not like me? And you may say, well, I don't know why girls don't like me. It's like, yeah, you do. It's because you do this stuff all the time, and they don't want to be around you. These are just some good heart-searching questions to ask yourself. So girls, hear what James is telling you. Do not be deceived. Don't be deceived. Every good gift, every perfect gift, it's from above. You receive it as a gift or you don't have it, and it comes from God. It comes from the Father of lights. And He doesn't change. He's never going to change. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.